T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Rock me some Hurricane. Love the Hurricane. How's Gail doing?
Oh, she's doing great, Jim.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
She's Big doing fans. Awesome.
Tell her I said hi.
I will, Jim. I will.
Do that.
I will. Jim, I just said I would.
Dream Job Contest officially launched. Your chance to become an on-air host of 95.7 The Game.
She's in, by the way. She submitted her video.
She did?
No, she did not.
Yeah, Kaner's in.
Oh,
Kaner
my God.
Wants a piece. She wants to make that top 16.
That would be so awesome.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm dead serious.
Okay, you got to send me your video. Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll see if I can't unearth it, because we've gotten thousands, if
thousands.
Not hundreds of thousands. Everybody wants a piece of this thing.
Last I looked, I thought it was over 1.3 million.
Yeah, we crested 1.1 yesterday, yeah. So I think it's 1.3 million submissions.
So it's a lot of the billions that are, you know.
It's a lot of stuff to go over.
Yeah,
a lot
really
of people
is.
Want to get up in this joint.
And just the top 16 is, yes, Jim, a lot of people want to get up in this joint.
Why are you trying to be? Like,
you're so hip.
I mean, why are you trying to do that, bro?
With your Columbia sweatshirt,
right. I mean,
your
right.
orange on top of purple, with your salt and pepper bedhead.
Keeping it 100.
You're coming so early.
Keeping it a buck.
Keeping it at a buck. I mean, you this guy, everyone want to get up in this joint. I mean, really?
He put the urban in Urban Outfitters.
We're tired.
All right, let's bring in another outstanding person, and I'll try not to subject Kalena to you two, although he will be officiating you two at the Disgrace of Chase. Kalena Azubuki, you know him as you watch the Warrior games, does a great job with Fitz, and I know it's a tough year for everybody, but let's not get into that. All right, Kalena, welcome in. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. You know what? I need to hear your reaction or what you thought of when you saw Russell Westbrook throwing a bow yesterday and then getting into an argument with the Warrior bench with his team up 35. What was your immediate reaction to that, Kalena?
Oh, boy, he's super salty. That was my immediate reaction. He's trying to play the victim. If you heard him explaining it afterwards, he's like, everybody's doing things to me. I didn't do anything. But he instigated the whole thing. He took a cheap shot at Damian Lee. That was unnecessary. Damian Lee was the one that showed restraint, and he's talking to Damian Lee, saying whatever. And I love Juan Toscano-Anderson running in there and ripping the ball out of his hands. Like, why are you holding on to the ball? Stop. Delay of game. You were trying to get going here. And obviously Russell took offense to that, and then he's standing over by the bench, and he and Marquise Chris get into it, and he walks over, and then he says, Kevon Looney stepped in front of him. Kevon Looney was just standing there. He walked into Kevon Looney. So he's trying to play the victim and act like it's not fair. He's the only one that gets attacked. Everybody was doing things to him, but he started the whole thing, so he deserved to get attacked. I think the Warriors have just been the reason for a lot of frustration on Russell Westbrook's part over the years. And I think you saw some of that come out last night in a huge win for them. They're up huge, and he's still mad at the world. And it's like Clay said, well, what are you mad about, bro? What's the problem? And I think Clay is one of the reasons he's so mad. I think Steph is one of the reasons he's so mad. And I think the fact that they weren't out there and the Rockets beat the Warriors, it didn't really end up being satisfying to Russell Westbrook. and you kind of saw that last night.
Yeah, up 35 with 6 minutes to go, and he's got to try to instigate something with a total cheap shot, and he leads the league in technical fouls now. He might be headed for a suspension if he gets to 16 techs for the regular season. You mentioned the unfulfilled nature of that victory. How much are teams getting at least some pleasure in the Warriors being so down this year?
I think teams are coming in just trying to take it to the Warriors, and they'll enjoy being up on the Warriors. But it's like I said, it's still not going to be fully satisfactory to anyone, because it's not the whole and healthy Warriors with Steph and Klay out there. Obviously, Draymond Green is out there, and that may help when other teams come in and they're able to beat the Warriors. But everybody knows what this year is. It's been a year of injuries. It's a totally new team, and no one feels sorry for the Warriors. Obviously, the Warriors have done a lot of winning and beating up on other teams over the last 5 years or so. But I think the league knows once Steph gets back healthy, obviously he's thinking about coming back. He's probably going to come back in March, but next season, and when Klay gets back healthy, and it's Draymond, and you got Andrew Wiggins, who's fitted nicely here, it could be really scary. So it's really a one-year dip, and the rest of the league better get their shots in while they can and get their big wins in while they can, because it's not going to be like that for long. I think that's a league-wide sentiment. Everybody kind of knows, yeah, the Warriors are out this year, and it's been injuries, but maybe bad news in the long run for the rest of the league, because Steph and Klay have been resting up by way of injury, and they're rehabbing everything, but Klay's living his best life. He's going to be rejuvenated come next season, and it could be a problem for the rest of the league.
Clinton, when you hear the news that Klay Thompson probably won't play this year, and you hear Kerr says it didn't surprise him, it's okay. Do you see Steph following same suit? Do you think that's wise, just to give him that rest, or do you think that they still try to play him?
I think they'll still try to play Steph. I know Steph wants to play.
Sure.
And that's not all it's about, but he definitely wants to play. And he's one of those guys that's not going to be okay with being healthy, just sitting on the sidelines. And I think when it's all said and done, Steph's healthy and the training staff clears him, they'll let him play. And Steve Kerr is one of those guys that just doesn't live with fear or let fear rule his decision-making, the fear of Steph getting injured at the end of the season and something bad happening. He doesn't let that rule him, and he doesn't make decisions off of that. So he's going to throw him out there and hope for the best. And obviously Steph is going to give his best effort. And I don't know how much this carries over, but it would be nice for Steph to play with Andrew. He hasn't played with him before. And I think more for Andrew. I think it'll benefit Andrew more, because Andrew is someone that needs to learn how to play with Steph, move without the ball. Just one aspect of playing with Steph. And it's a ton of fun to play with Steph, but it's different. So if Steph is the system, like KD says, which he is, Steph's movement is a huge part of that system. And when there's no play called, when there is a play called or there's no play called, Steph doesn't stop moving. And if he's running towards you, you're supposed to step in and set a screen for him. So if you're in the corner and he runs to your corner, either you clear out or you set the screen for him. And that's just different than most teams in the league. That's not something a lot of guys are used to. And once you get used to it, it's really fun, and actually you benefit off it, because a lot of times you'll set a screen for Steph, your defender will go Steph, you can roll to the basket and get a layup. But it's something you have to kind of get used to. And, again, I don't know how much it carries over if Steph gets 15, 20 games with Andrew, whatever, to next season. But that's one benefit, if you want to look at it, just being able to gain some kind of chemistry with Andrew Wiggins and then Marquise Chris, too, who he hasn't had a ton of time with. He got a little time with Steph did earlier in the season, but not a ton of time, and that'll probably be their starting center. So just gaining some chemistry with those guys, maybe it carries over just a little bit the next season. But as long as Steph is 150% healthy, I'm okay with him putting him out there, and I like that Coach Kerr doesn't let the fear of injury or re-injury, whatever, to Steph rule his decision-making and the way he coaches. And if the training staff is good with it, you want to put him out there. I just think if I'm Steph, I would make sure part of my rehab, or if I'm the training staff, I'd make sure part of the rehab includes me just like slapping a ball as hard as I could, right? Because I think that's one of the mental hurdles you have to get over. Because once he gets back in there, obviously you have to be pain-free. Your strength has to go all the way back. Your hand, the injured hand, needs to feel somewhat close to how the other hand felt, the field. And then mentally, just being able to slap the ball hard. Because remember, Steph likes to reach and you got to be able to catch a pass that's coming in pretty hot with some velocity behind it without flinching, without thinking about it. So just like almost like those rebounding drills where you grab the ball, you hold the ball maybe in the right hand and you slap it as hard as you can with the left and just grab it, make it pop, right? So just so you get that out of your head, you get that mental, you get over that mental hurdle and you know it's not going to hurt if you hit the ball hard. And then maybe you have someone else hold the ball and you slap down it hard and just try to knock it out of their hand, just so you kind of get past that mental hurdle, get that feel back, and you're not scared of anything that will happen on the court. And then once he's good there, I think he's pretty much ready to go.
Kalen Azubuike joining us, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. There's a name you mentioned in that answer, and that's Andrew Wiggins. You've had just a handful of games to see him, but what do you see in him that might be different than what you thought from watching him with Minnesota? What is it about Wiggins that might give you reason to think, hey, this could be the right fit for the group that we know that we're going to get when they're healthy?
The defense. It's really been about the defense for me. We've seen what he's capable of defensively when he's held accountable, when he has the want to, and he showed the willingness to defend, the willingness to work. Since he's been with the Warriors. Again, last night he had two blocks last night. He had a steal. So he's been on the best player on the other team. He guarded James Harden, and he moved his feet pretty well and did a solid job there. He guarded LeBron James. He's making plays defensively. Even if he's beaten, he's working to get back into play and break up the play. So he's working hard defensively. I think I trust Draymond Green when he says he can be a great defender. Look, he has all those physical tools. We can see it. He has the length. He has the quickness, the lateral quickness. He can move his feet. The IQ isn't bad defensively. And hanging out with Draymond Green and learning from him and having Draymond and Klay Thompson when he's back next season and others keep him accountable defensively, I think will be wonderful for Andrew Wiggins. And it's good peer pressure with the Warriors, because if everybody else is working defensively, you're going to stick out if you're not working. And he showed the willingness to work defensively. And I think in Minnesota, it was the opposite, probably bad peer pressure, where everybody else is kind of lollygagging on defense and no one else is really giving that second and third effort and fourth effort. It's like you get sucked into, well, why should I do it if no one else is doing it, right? So now with the Warriors, you got the coaching staff, it's the winning culture, it's the system you respect. You've seen from afar, if you're Andrew Wiggins, the success the Warriors have had when they defend and when they work hard defensively and when they play, defend smartly on that side. So you come in and you fall in line, and he's shown that he's willing to do that, and he's made some great plays defensively. So I agree with Draymond. That's the biggest part of it for me. I knew how talented he was offensively and when he's in attack mode. He's been super consistent on the offensive side and in attack mode. And I think he can learn to move without the ball even more, which is something that's going to benefit him playing with Steph and Klay, obviously, when he gets back. But defensively, he's really been, I think, what the Warriors need him to be defensively. And if he can do that going forward and next season, the Warriors will be super dangerous.
Clint, I love that you're a man of the people and you're a man of many talents. Even though you're busy all the time covering the Warriors and preparing for the team and the opposition and getting looking at stats, MLB, Major League Baseball, when you see what's going on with Houston and you find you hear all the different things that are coming out of there, what type of an advantage do you think that it would give a player if you know the pitch that's coming as a hitter? And do you think baseball, when you watch, you see it now with all the guys coming out with the different statements, how do you feel just about that whole thing about not necessarily stripping them of the title?
Yeah, it's bothersome. I think it definitely gives the hitter an advantage if he knows the pitch is coming, or
sure.
And that makes it a little easier at least to know if it's a fastball coming. Obviously, off-speed pitches, it's much different for a batter, and especially a good hitter. I think your batting percentage is going to go up. So just the one thing I don't get, though, really, with baseball is I do feel like a lot of people are stealing signs. A lot of teams do that. And I understand the players coming out and saying that they're mad about, you know, how they did it and in the World Series, and they would feel cheated and all that stuff. It feels against them. I just don't understand when I look around the league and I hear about other teams sign stealing and, you know, maybe a trash can when you hear it and all those different things, it's more bothersome and it sticks out a little more in your mind or whatever. But I feel like it's something that is almost league-wide and the MLB needs to do something about that in general, because I feel like it's something that a lot of teams do. And even though I feel the players when they say they're mad about it, I don't feel like they're acknowledging or thinking about the fact or being cognizant of the fact that a lot of other teams do this and a lot of players have done this. So that's the one part I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it's illegal. You're not supposed to do it, but everybody does it, or a lot of people do it. So I feel like the players that are coming out against it and saying stuff aren't thinking about that. But yeah, I'm always against cheating and it bothers me. It definitely bothers me if the Astros had an advantage and it helped them win the World Series. If I was the Dodgers, I'd be super salty like Westbrook. I would be, but I'm just saying, it doesn't make any sense to me how I feel like a lot of teams in the MLB do it. A lot of sign stealing happening, a lot of quote unquote cheating happening. And it's almost like, you know, you turned a blind eye to it. But now that it comes out, you know, someone snitched on them, whatever, however it came out, it comes out, everybody speaks up against it like they don't do it. That's the one part I don't get.
Kalen, I'm really glad to hear you talk about being against cheating like that, because you're going to be the ultimate arbitrator for the disgrace at Chase coming up next Wednesday. You'll be refereeing the big one-on-one matchup between Loneal and myself, and I'm looking forward to your fairness, to your ability to keep things between line, because the physicality of the former football player, I could see him trying to cheat and impose his will against me, and I'm thrilled that you're going to be there to try to keep things fair, Kalena.
Oh man, I can't wait for this. Yes, I'm going to be super objective. I'm going to have an objective whistle. I do think probably Loneal will probably be the betting favorite just because his size, and I don't think either of you can shoot, so whoever can
slap at both guys, Kalena,
and whoever can get down low and beat the other one up, I would say has the advantage there. So hey, two Titans going at it, it's must see TV, and I'm glad to be there to help out and give you guys a fair whistle. Dibs, are you going to be critiquing my refereeing skills? Because I know you're...
Oh, now we've got a little duel going. I like this.
It's the game within the game, Kalena. You understand that. Just as long as you remember that positional defense is more important than just the mass of somebody trying to barrel into me. If I happen to go down while defending him in the post, that is an offensive foul. You know that as well as anybody, Kalena.
Yeah.
Don't let him lead you, Kalena.
To be fair, I know that at times when Shaq was being refereed.
Right.
It wasn't easy to referee him. So, you know, someone falls over, it's not always just a foul. You know what I mean? You have to take into account the size and the strength. And if Lowe makes a legal move, I'm going to make sure I hold on to my whistle and I don't just blow it and I just don't react because someone falls over. So any flopping, you know what? If you flop Dibs, you may be penalized. So just let's
Kalen, it's not a flop when 280 pounds meets 185 pounds. It's not necessarily a flop.
But either of you guys gives me any lip, I'm teeing you up. I'll just tell you.
I think that's fair. You know where the lip's coming from. You know where it's coming from.
You know you got to put up the stop sign first before you go right to the tee, Kalani. You know that. I know you never got a tee in your whole career, but...
I'm just saying, I'm going to have a quick whistle. You give me any lip, you act like Russell Westbrook and you're super salty. Hey, listen, I'll be the first one to tee you up, the first tee up ever in a one-on-one.
But you can't let him hold me either on the perimeter, Kalani, when I'm trying to go by him and he's got those big mitts on me.
Don't worry about it.
He's holding me already, Kalani.
Freedom of movement.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call it both ways.
Thank you.
Sure, if you got the quickest advantage and you're able to blow by him and he...
Clint, him blowing by me is like a leaf blowing by... Come on.
The only thing he's blowing by is his nose into a hanky in the pregame, Bookie.
Book, you've seen this guy. His knee's bent in. He can't blow by what? He can't blow by anything.
Bookie, remember, he only gets to hand check me once and he's got to let me go.
I don't even need to
touch
you.
Gotta let me go, Bookie.
Have you guys been practicing at all? I mean, is it?
Book, I can let him go, and I could come from behind and swat him, pin him
all
like,
day,
like,
every day,
like
Bookie.
LeBron pinned Iggy.
What are you guys?
Tang.
What's it? Is it first to 10 or something? Or
first to 11, win by one, and on his fifth foul, I get to shoot free throws. That's important.
Are we going to be there all day? I mean, are you guys going to have trouble scoring? Like, is it going to be
going to run out of show? Exactly.
You guys. I mean, it might have to be like first to score. Period. I've heard neither of you guys really have any kind of game.
Wow, the officials trash talking the competitors.
Yeah,
this is new.
This is new.
A new strategy. I like it. It's a bold strategy, Kalena.
It should be over less than 15 minutes, Glenn. So it's gonna probably like a 10 minute. I mean, it's gonna be. It's not gonna be long.
It's gonna be a 10-8 round. Low.
I like the confidence.
More than. Two.
Okay, we got Kalena. We got to run. Thanks for the time. We're looking forward to Wednesday when you will be in the stripes with the whistle, keeping it clean for these two competitors. And we can't wait to see how this thing goes down. But thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, no problem, guys.
All right, we'll see you, Kalena Azubuki, the referee. Are we gonna? Is it gonna be on the website?
Instagram Live. Follow us at 957 The Game. We will absolutely be streaming it live. We're trying to get it shown on the exterior at Chase as well in case people are milling about in the Mission Bay area.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And
that would be awesome.
Full wire-to-wire coverage of the disgrace at Chase. Don't miss a minute of it via Instagram.com.
Satan Mully going to be there for the pregame show?
I hope so.
You know, little pregame, postgame.
That'd be so great. It's a little Satan Mully, exactly.
Let's get reaction right now from Dan Dibley. After the game, you know, they swoop in with a camera.
You got that right, Dibs. It'd be great.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great time. I hope the free throw competitors have a good time in this whole thing. I wish Bonte Steinmetz Guru were able to do their show from out there because I think Steiny would do some trash talking too.
Don't you think Steiny kind of thinks
these two are doing it. He's giving you the verbal eye roll with these when he's talking about you guys.
I wish that next show was there to watch it, do the handoff, and let them be in there and to watch that too. Because I'm so out. Oh, Steiny, I thought
that's a joke.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Guru did not show up well at the last media game that was put on during the NBA
Finals.
Why are
you hating on him?
That's reporting. Why are you? That's not hating.
Who the hell is Jim?
Who the hell is John? Guru will come in here and he'll come defend himself. You don't got to say, "Oh, hope he didn't hurt. He didn't have a nice showing."
I will ask him. That's later on. That's what's coming up on the game. It's brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. Now's the time to try Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door. You eat the food, you lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see the website for the details. Joe Lowe and Dibs coming down the home stretch. Half hour to go More fun with you on 95.7 The Game. I got the Nut Go.
Nut Go.
Got the Nut Go. I had it on an apple, and I have it on a little protein bar that I brought today.
I can tell.
Damn!
Got a big workout coming when
big
I get
workout.
Home.
Big workout. Get it in. So you owned football yesterday with Joe and
I owned
Joe.
It.
Okay.
I owned it.
Tell me how
you know,
owned
we're talking about
it.
The CBA.
He rented it and he returned it late.
Uh-huh.
And he faced
a Blockbuster.
Like a Blockbuster, exactly. Rent two takes and get the third take free. That's what that was. Remember that? You'd always
that
get two
awesome.
Movies and get the third
right.
for free. And you never watched the third one.
Yeah. No.
You'd fall asleep in the second one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You like the 3-day rental.
You
it was
know
so great. Blockbuster thought that their blank didn't stink, and then Netflix came in and just absolutely motorboated
them. Motor
but
the
you
boat.
Know, there's something about walking up and down the aisles looking at those movies, trying to decide what you wanted to bring.
So was, good.
And your families, was, you yep. go, let's go look at this.
It was pretty cool.
It was.
So,
no, it was super fun. Please be kind. Rewind.
Yep.
All nice. That stuff.
Did anyone buy the, you know, remember they used to tell you, oh, don't use Rewind on your machine.
Yes,
you
have to buy the Sever Rewinder.
The Sever Rewinder. Using Rewind on your machine
pop
is bad
tape.
For the machine. So you got to take it out and use it. No, they're just trying to get you to buy another piece of like electronic
right.
equipment. Love the Blockbuster.
Oh,
I think,
man,
there's,
so
I think there's one or two left in Alaska.
Really?
Yes, one or two remaining in Alaska.
There's one in Amita, right?
No.
No.
What's that movie? There's on Park Street, there's a...
not a Blockbuster.
Rent, not a Blockbuster, but you can still rent movies. I forget the name of it.
Really? But Blockbuster's down to one or two stores, and I think Alaska's the last domain.
And it's the...
I don't do a lot of Park Street. I don't do a lot of Alameda. Well, we've discussed that.
I scared your wife, beautiful wife, there on
Park Street. Oh, that's one of my favorite stories. My wife's out there doing her thing, doing her second-hand clothing business, and
that's
all
nice.
Of a sudden...
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. It's what she does. You know, she buys clothes and she fixes them up and then takes them to secondhand stores.
Right.
And,
really? That's cool.
Yeah, awesome. And they resell it and she gets, you know, 50% or whatever. It's part hobby, part business. She does really well and she's out shopping and this is where Lo picks up the story.
Yeah, she's out shopping. She's going and you know she's in a rush trying to drop off stuff, moving, parking the car, you know, Alameda's finest out there, getting parking tickets. So she's running across and getting in there, walking down. Hey, how you doing? Jumps out on her. And yeah, she almost had a heart. She looked at me like, I oughta.
Yeah. Because Lo has an unbelievable ability to just pop out and scare
like
people.
I don't know why you do that.
It's enjoyable.
It is not.
Not for
it's
me.
Not enjoyable.
It's great joy.
No, it's enjoyable for me, right? Not for you.
Sometimes in the morning here, he'll hear me coming because I'm a little heavy-footed.
Yeah.
4:44 in the morning, I'm coming to get my cup of joy. And all of a sudden, hey, Dibs!
Yeah.
He'll pop out of the corner.
I know.
My poor heart.
He's like a cartoon character.
And then it's that laugh he hits you with every time.
God, I hate
thinks
that.
It's so funny.
You hate it?
Yes, I
but
hate
it. You,
I hate being scared.
I do too, but then you see how happy it makes him, and it's like, all right, you fish-eye fool. You know, anyway.
Man,
that's Lo Neal. You got to keep your head on a swivel when you're in the media.
But as I digest, you were saying that you owned football yesterday, and I got to get back on this because I'm like, I need to hear it.
So, collective bargaining agreement. They're trying to come up with a new what would be a 10-year agreement.
Uh-huh.
The extra game, 17. The extra team added on in the playoffs. The only buys going to the one seeds in the AFC and the NFC. There's a lot of moving parts, but the owners quickly rushed through in their vote, passed it. It's on to the Players Association. When it gets to the players, the superstars who get paid, J.J. Watt, Richard Sherman, they got their chicken. Their hard pass, absolute no. It's the little guy who gets the instant $100,000 raise who's sitting back going, $100,000 is a lot of money. I might want this to happen. So there seems to be a little bit of an imbalance on the player side of things. You played the game. I don't know how much you're following it. We can take it in steps. 17-game season, let's start with that. How do you feel about a 17-game regular season, 3-game preseason?
Without a doubt, you say, God, I'd rather get rid of one of the preseason games because one of the preseason games, it really does. I hated preseason. Absolutely hated it. Especially you get older in your career, you really don't like preseason. If you're a bubble guy, fringe guy, you're trying to get some preseason. You want to get some burn. But for who? For what? All the hits on your bodies? I think that's okay. So taking a game away, now adding it to a regular season. And you know what? The thing about it, it's quiet vote. You don't have to sign your name to anything. You don't got to, if you like it, then you put a ring on it. If you like it, you should write your name on it. No, they're not going to have to write their name on it. It's quiet balloting. It's not, no one's going to know, Dibs. So if you like it, you don't have to put your name on it. And so I think it's going to pass unanimously, like you just talking about, even though the guys are older guys will say no. guy's going to make 100K. 100K is a good living. I mean, that's
heck,
so guys
yeah.
are going to take that, and you got to realize the golden rule is very simple. He who owns the gold rules. If the owner's already said that they're going to pass it, and they already passed it, and now it's to the Players Association, trust me, it's going to pass. The owners have spoken, and that's just how it is. Yeah, you're going to have Demorse come out and say, my players and all this and that stuff. They're not your players. They're the owner's players. And that's just unfortunate. That's the way it is. And you're not going to have, what, you're going to have a strike? You think these young
Are
guys.
Are you a 17-game guy or not? Regular season.
I didn't necessarily want to do it, but you're going to play. Guess okay. what? Richard Sherman doesn't want to do it,
right.
but guess what? Is he going to say, I'm not going to play one game? No. So the answer, yes, you're going to fall. You're going to fall.
That's true.
Soldier.
But
yes.
as a guy who played the game and went through the physical pounding, does it depend on how they lay it out? If you still, what if I tell you, you only get the one bye week. We're just going to tack on another game. They're not going to adjust the schedule in any way, shape, or form.
Honestly, I'm fine with this. If they would have played, okay. if we would have played 17 games, I promise I'd have been fine with it.
Sure.
I look at it; you still get a bye. The two number one, the number one in NFC and AFC, is still going to have a bye. You still get a bye week during the year. You're missing a preseason game. Training camp now is going to be maybe even shorter. So guys hate training camp.
I think they say there are fewer practices in this whole thing, which the coaching
staff. That's part of it, too.
Football operations
yeah.
doesn't like that part of the deal
But
at
if
all.
You're a player, you want fewer padded practices.
Yes.
And if it's a 17-game schedule, ultimately the importance of each game goes down incrementally just a little bit. So, and everyone already is talking about how the first couple games of the season feel like glorified practice games anyway, because most teams aren't that sharp. And so with 17 games, Lowe mentioned this before, even if you come out of the gate and you're 0-3 or you're 1-3 in your first four, knowing that you have an extra game now to make that up, it's not so much of a panic move as it used to be where, you know, teams that start 0-3, only 8% of them make the playoffs or whatever. Now that's not going to be as much of a factor.
The way the schedule is laid out to me is going to be the interesting part of this for any player, right? If it's just tacking on a game and not giving you some extra body rest time, that could be pretty brutal. That could be pretty difficult for you guys.
And it can be. And that's why I think that this is where I differ. This is where I think this should be huge, because I understand coaches say, look, we're messing up my practice time. We got travel time. I really believe that coaches and the owners, or not, maybe not even coaches in the NFL, whoever needs to be there, need to sit down and they need to collectively go over the schedule. Scheduling meaning travel. You can't have me go back east and then come back. You got to schedule it where if a team's going to be back there, you got to make sure the facilities that they're going to be practicing in when they're leaving. Give them the opportunity. Give them a fair way to compete. Give them the best opportunity. Schedule it right. You don't have a team going to London and then come back. No, you got to make sure the way that the travel's set up is giving everyone an equal advantage. That's, in my opinion, like you said, the way that they line that out, I think that you got to have more than just schedulers over here putting it. No, you need to have coaches. You need to have nutritionists. I think you really need to have that training staff involved in the way they schedule that.
You know what they're saying? That it's funny you say the London portion of it. They're saying they could have a full slate, a full home slate of London games in three separate arenas where you would have 8 total games played there. So if you and I were to buy season tickets for the 49ers,
gotcha.
We knew we'd have an 8-game schedule. They will have 8 games every year in London, and they can sell a season ticket of NFL games.
Yeah.
Now, it won't be the same team every time.
And it won't be the same stadium. You'll have Wembley. You'll have Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the third one would be.
Did they play a game in Manchester once?
At the Etihad?
Yeah. Was that it?
What's that called again?
The Etihad is where Manchester City plays.
I would not spit on the floor at that disgusting, filthy place.
Why,
Man
Jim?
City.
Please explain.
Because I'm a United man.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I stay with the creme de la creme.
The bourgeois team. The bougie front runner. That's, see, again, and this speaks
this
to your
guy.
Whole the East Bay notion about the real East Bay is through the tunnel.
Right.
You're the Man United. You out there in the 925, it's the Manchester United of the East Bay. We in Oakland, in Alameda,
yeah,
San Lorenzo, San Leandro, Castro Valley. That's Man City. The cities of the people, not the bourgeois East Bay.
No.
I'm not surprised
Man U
that you're
is
bougie.
The Globes team.
Not anymore, kid.
The Globes team.
Not since your boy OGS has driven them into the ground.
We're not cheating to get our way into some tournament.
Yeah, it's the Champions League.
We are Man U. We just get in.
You're not in, which is the other part of that. You're in Europa.
We will.
Struggling in Europa.
Jim, how's those ratings there in London when they do that? When they have
when
those
they go
games?
To play there?
Yeah. What do you?
You know, that's interesting.
How's the ticket sales? Because it seems like every time you go there, I mean, last year you saw the Raiders play there. I mean, the stadium's full. The Bear. I mean,
it's an extreme sellout. There are a lot of expats who live out there or live somewhere within weekend distance of getting to London and spending the weekend there.
Right.
The NFL has had tremendous luck in that. They need to grow their game globally, and we always talk about having a team play there. As far as a home, having a London squad, well, this is a way to actually have a season slate of games without having to park a team all the way in London and factor in, well, what's it going to be like for the London Monarchs to have to travel all the way to Los Angeles and to play a game or to Arizona and play a game, and how do you get them into a division? That might be too much, but to have a scenario with a 17th game where you're playing in the bonus stadium, and Joe pointed out not just the London portion of this, he pointed out the playing in a college stadium portion of the tour,
right.
which would be an intriguing piece of the puzzle.
I pointed that out, and then now you're trying to steal from Joe, who stole it from me, who I stole from John Dickinson. So let's just make sure you get the lineage of the theft down.
Wow, four ways.
Last year, Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium, 84,771. The Bengals, or the Bungles, as you say,
the Bongles,
took on the Rams, 83,720.
Wow. Wow.
There was a couple games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is brand new.
Yeah.
It holds 60,000. They drew 60,000.
By the way, that was built with the NFL's money and with NFL specifications to add to your point.
Yeah.
Now, so they built a smaller stadium, but the other ones hold 80.
Well, 60,000 is pretty big for soccer purposes.
No, I understand.
But what they have is they have a separate field, and you were probably going to steal this nugget too, so I want to go ahead and jump the route here. They have a different field that they actually wheel in on a track for football, and then they wheel it back out. That way the soccer pitch, as we like to call it, the pitch, Jim, doesn't get ruined by the NFL game.
But isn't that interesting, though? You have an 80,000-seat stadium, and they fill that out. Then they made one 60, and they sell that out. So,
it just goes to show you.
You're absolutely right there, Dibs.
Thank you. And Twickenham Stadium is the other one, Jim. Not the Etihad, as you erroneously reported.
You did. Thanks, Dibs, for clearing that up.
You're welcome, Lo.
Know your Man City's.
Twickenham,
Man
yes. Yeah,
all that and more. We're going to get more into the CBA and the NFL all next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7. Joe Lo and Dibs, after us will be, is it just Bonte and Goo? It is just Bonte and Goo. So Terrible Twosome going to bring you home middle of the day. What are you doing? What are you saying?
I'm just listening to you.
All right, back to the CBA talk and the NFL.
Yes.
Do you like adding the team to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's good for football.
You do?
Yeah, and you know, being outside now, looking in, and I just love football, and the fans do too. And I get it, the players, you know, sometimes they talk about the game's physical and all that. You're right. But I think when you look at football, you think about how many guys get hurt. How many of these guys, Dibs, in your opinion, get hurt during practice, during training camp? Think about when most of the injuries – I think more injuries happen – not during a game than during the game.
Jalen Hurd was hurt before the first game. Trent Taylor was hurt before the season even started, just as a couple of examples from the 49ers this year.
You think about it, Coz, and that's a lot of times, you know, you look at it, and a lot of these guys just get hurt because they're not in shape. You see hamstrings and all the different things that happen before the season. So I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing. At least the guy's going to be compensated. You get to bring in another team. And it's still going to make the playoffs exciting. You're not adding 50. It's still going to be a 17 games. So is that really adding 5, 10? No. So if you look at it in that respect, I think it's going to be good for football. I think you'll see guys, more teams now, more excited. And it can add another one, so I don't think it's so bad.
Does it bother you that the superstars, the J.J. Watts, the Richard Shermans, have been so vocal on social media, quickly trying to cut this deal off? And say, let's slow it down. Owners want this done because they want to start negotiating with the TVs, with the, I guess they really feel, and every year it seems, Dibs, we hear, oh, the conglomerates like Google and Amazon, they're going to be in on the bidding, but they never are in on the bidding. Are we finally to a point now where you think, well, maybe Amazon is going to try to steal an AFC package, an NFC package, or whatever, a Monday night package.
I don't think that they're quite at the point where they'll get full packages, but more streaming rights, additional platform rights, and I think that's where the NFL will go first. As for the players, if I was in their situation, I wouldn't be rushing headlong to approve this because Why? Why would you want to go ahead and capitulate to the owners without fully examining what the collective bargaining agreement is going to mean for you and for your membership? And there's so many other issues that are out there that I think need to be put on the table. And if you're the players, think about this past league. This was an unbelievable year for the league. Ratings went up, and I know they're still down as opposed to where they were 5, 6, 7 years ago, but you're coming off a great year where a young superstar won the Super Bowl in a highly entertaining game. The league has moved beyond the controversy of Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling and the politicization of all of that, and you're entering a time where the game is more popular than ever before, especially as it relates to other sports. So if I'm a player, I wouldn't want to just jump in and say, yeah, owners, whatever you think, let's knock this out now.
I think when you look at this, I think a lot of those guys like Richard Sherman and J.J. Watt, what is that really going to do for them? It's probably going to even shorten their career. So I get it. I totally understand. And that's why I'm just trying to think about I'm going to come out from the guys with that perspective and the reason why, the wear and tear on their bodies. How is it going to help them? What's $100,000 going to do for a guy that's, you know, in his last year, maybe 2 years left, that adds on to that, you know, that's not going to necessarily help him? You think about the younger generation, the guys like the Patty Mahomes. You think he's going to oppose this because now he can set to 17-game season. Now he can try to increase his salary. I think a lot of these guys are going to look at it and saying, now how am I going to leverage this? Agents and other people and players are going to say, man, I can make more money now. Now I'm, hey, it's 17 games. You know what? I want more guaranteed money. So I think that you got a group of guys, and I totally understand where they're coming from. Like, man, hey, I'm not young anymore. Now you're asking me to do these things. You're asking me to play at this high of a level now for an extra game, do an extra week, wear and tear my body. So I do understand where they're coming from. But I think the majority and the mass, the young players, up-and-coming superstars, I think that a lot of these guys are going to be like, all over, like a hog eating slop because the opportunity to make more money, Dibs.
But for the veteran players, they're seeing it as...
Yeah, I'm already in my 10th year, 11th year. Can I really go out and make another... Freaking, is it going to really change my network? It's really going to change. It's probably going to hurt, I think, more than help, I think, for some of those guys in the twilight of their career.
Once everyone found out about whatever they've told us of the deal, remember, we don't get to read the final deal points, yeah, but we hear from the NFL side, they leak out some of the things that are going. J.J. Watt on Twitter, hard no on that proposed CBA. Richard Sherman retweets, it says, leadership, exclamation point, I am with you, please communicate with your team rep. Darren Revelle, I don't know if you know him, he made his name, I believe he started with ESPN, went to CNBC, then back to ESPN, and now he is with a gambling service in Vegas, is that right? He's not with VSIN, but he's with a group in Vegas, Action Network.
Yeah.
Excellent, does a great job, and I'm a huge fan of Darren Revelle. He covers sports business like few others can. He tweeted this out 16 hours ago. I've been covering sports labor for 20 years. This deal the NFL owners are putting forth might be the worst deal, with the exception of the deal the NHL players accepted in 2005 after a year off. There's no way the NFLPA says yes to this. That'll be interesting. Very interesting. If you're a young guy in the league, and you know, what's the shelf life of a guy in the NFL? Average career is 3 years?
Something like that.
If you right away
three
say
to 4 years, yeah,
getting $100,000 more starting next year, you're sitting back going, $100,000? That's a lot of money.
But I don't think that most players, and Lowe can speak to this better than anyone, most players don't see that average shelf life of 3 years and think, that's me. They all think, you know, as they should, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be here for 10, 12, heck, 16 years like Lowe Neal. I don't think a lot of them are thinking...
They're all Adrian Peterson?
Well, I don't think they're all thinking in that short term. You know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to be in and out here in 1 year. I got to get that extra $100,000 while I can.
All righty. We are joined by the great Daryl the Guru Johnson, who I have dubbed everyone's favorite and the winner of the, what was it called at that
I'm
time?
I'm not playing.
Lucky
Ghost.
Break.
Oh, I thought you meant favorite. I was like, you two got the battle.
No, I know. But no. But I also heard when you played in the media game, it didn't go so well.
Let me tell you this, Coz.
Hating on you.
No, he's not.
That's not
and I'm
hating.
About to give it to him. Coz, I think I want to buy you a beer and talk about it. Listen, I'm a shot creator. I overthought the whole process. I was bragging to Lowe. I got about 7, 8 shots up,
yes,
made about one or two. If we went shot ball right now, you'd be like, okay, Goo, for your age, you're a pretty good dude. I overthought it, and I'm going to be here for Lowe or Dibs on Wednesday. The loser because I can console them and Dr. Ruth them and just talk to me. How do you feel? Because I didn't know the severity of the cameras of how many people were watching me.
And there were a lot of people.
I look like rerun. But anyway, I didn't look good, Coach. So had I known this year, I'm going to have a double
XL. Were you popping and locking?
Yeah. So that made me, you know, I had a lot on my mind. But this Wednesday, it's either one of you two, I'll be there to console you. And I don't know who I'm picking.
I know it's tough now. It's tough. Are you getting overconfident? Is he underselling it?
He's a former pro athlete, but Dibs, you are Danny Ainge to me.
Appreciate
and when
that.
I heard you say Danny Ainge, I was like, I got telepathy. That's what I already was dubbing him.
See?
Lo, I love you, baby.
You're my
Wednesday.
Guy.
You know what you wearing?
That's just, what I'm going to probably wear a pair of jeans.
He's wearing jeans, dude.
And some Stacey Adams.
He's wearing jeans.
Some Stacey Adams. He's wearing a Stacey Adams.
You, coach,
how'd you fit all that in them jeans?
Coach,
you can appreciate that, Coach?
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I'm sure Bob Myers is going to love you out there high-stepping your Stacey Adams, carving up that poor Chase floor.
But I mean, that's about how much respect I have for him.
Whoa, this is,
it's Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas.
This is like Wilder or Fury tomorrow.
No. This is not even close to that. This is more like Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson. Okay. Or Mike Tyson was favored by 50,
so
whatever.
So let me guess, you're Mike.
Of course. Right.
42-1.
Can I just ask you three one thing, hashtag random? My pops, Norman Johnson, always says, son, don't jump the gun.
Yeah.
And yesterday I did a four-hour show with Mr. Bonte Hill. I listened to the whole world.
Yeah.
We all thought this CBA was going through. And now you see Sherman, J.J. Watt. It doesn't look like it has a chance, Dibs. Why do we jump the gun?
It's premature taculation is what it
is.
And there's a pill
is...
that you can take to help offset that.
Oh, wow.
Especially when we talk about things like CBAs, when has it ever been a slam dunk? These negotiations have never been, here's the offer, I accept.
I feel that, because what made me, I thought it, I was like, oh, I got three.
You know why?
There's no way this is going through.
Because we hate the talk of the discussions. So in our mind, it's like, all right, it's almost over. Let's get it done. Because I'm talking football. And now I got another game to talk about it. And now my other team might make the playoffs.
I can't get those 4 hours back yesterday, you guys.
What do you got coming up today?
We got Adam Kaplan to talk about the CBA and the chances of it going through. And Bonte and I will react to Russell Westbrook yesterday. What are you doing in the game up 35?
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, come on.
Is that on? That's on D'Antoni. Get him off the
floor.
Wow,
man.
That's
front
on runner. D'Antoni.
I like
Let's
that.
Not forget Steve Kerr. Didn't Steve Kerr fire D'Antoni when they were in Phoenix?
Wow.
Use that. Bonte, guru, next. I'm Jim Cosimore for Dan Dibley and the other guy. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.